And so there's often a delay when I talk, just so you know. I'm actually not in town right now.
What is that?
I said I'm not in town right now, so there's actually usually a delay when I talk. I just wanted to warn you.
That's the bad thing about everybody going remote is you can't use being out of town as an excuse to miss a meeting anymore.
See, I got an email from Wayne, and he's going to be late on this. He's on call, and he said he'll join us about 1:45.
Excellent. And here's Joanne.
I also got an email from Wayne, and so I'm hoping, so instead of a district rep, he could be at large, because Beth was at large.
Mm-hmm.
And then the district rep could maybe come out of some of this organizing that we're doing around the CPRO site.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. Wayne would be an excellent addition to this board.
Absolutely, and we need to have that, like he could represent the Lake Street businesses and what's going on there and have that regular contact with us. That would be so good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, and Donna, we should talk, Kent wants to know more about this board you're sitting on about Lake Street Revitalization.
Yeah.
He may want to volunteer to be on it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I'll have him get in touch with you.
It's like the Midtown and East Phillips Club it's turned into. But we're sort of waiting. I don't know, maybe I can give a little rundown here. But we're sort of waiting for Melanie to be part of that Minneapolis Forward. And Jana, she's telling you that she's has not gone to a meeting yet. Is that?
No, I haven't heard anything from her.
Okay, so we're just sort of waiting on her to get back with us about what's going on, because we really can't make much of many decisions or, you know, much of a movement until we find out.
Sure.
And we also are tentatively working on a survey that would be put together by Minneapolis College. And Jana has a connection with a professor there. So that's what's going on.
Well, and talk about, am I still on? Yeah. Talk about how we're going to do a monthly safety Zoom meeting too.
Right. This Thursday. And I will, at 1:00, and I will send out an email. This is just Phillips. This would just be East and Midtown Phillips. And I'm going to send an email out with the link tomorrow to the whole board, our board, and anyone that Brad and Carol want to put on the meeting too.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people have been asking to have a Zoom meeting because of the shootings that have happened in the last week. We had 3 on 1 block.
Right.
Yeah.
So in place of the East Lake Street meeting, we're going to have a safety meeting with East and Midtown Phillips.
Excellent. And with this, and with the Lake Street, it's neighbors and businesses, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. I'll have Kent give you a call.
All the heads of all the neighborhood associations, you know.
Excellent.
So.
Last night, I just want to update you guys.
Let's go ahead and, let's go ahead and actually start our meeting. And I have a written agenda, and I know that Jana has a whole list of items that we need to get through tonight. And so we've kind of started with some updates, and I'm thinking if we wanted to do, you know, like a couple of updates, and then Jana, I would like you to just launch in and just keep moving through all of the things that we need to do.
So,
and then when we get
Jennifer,
Wayne, we'll take... Yeah?
On the agenda that Sunny posted, yes. everything but for the resolution about the CPRO site is on there. So if we follow that agenda, everything is on there that I needed, that we just need to talk about tonight. So there's nothing else extra I need to talk about but okay. for that resolution. Everything else is on the agenda.
Right. And so actually, Janet, what I would love for you to do is for you to just lead off into that email and just keep working your way through all of those things. Do we want to do a quick round of announcements before we start into that? Are there any other announcements we should make? Mohammed, did you have something you wanted to share?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Hi, everybody. I hope everybody's doing well. Last night, 10 o'clock, I am in Bloomington and 24, and I see a car coming like 125 miles per hour, you know? And it really scared me, you know? And a lot of things happening in Midtown neighborhood every night. We're watching closely. So I just want to... everybody to be careful. It's very tough time. That's all I want to say. You know, be vigilant, you know, for everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So the first thing that's on that agenda that was sent out is for discussion 15 minutes, Midtown Greenway CPRO site encampment. So, Jana, why don't you take us through that?
Hold on. I lost you for a minute there. And then also, you know, I was thinking, too, that John might want to, do you want to say something now during introductions about the three shootings you had in your block area?
And I don't have all that much information, but it was last week. I can't even remember which night it was last week. That there were two people were shot on the corner of 27th and 15th. Both survived the shooting, one through the intervention of a good neighbor named John Whitlock. I'm extremely impressed by this fellow.
He's a nurse too.
I didn't realize that because he knew what to do. He's a wonderful guy. We worked very tightly together during the occupation of the block, and he staunched the bleeding of the female victim. A male and a female were shot. Somebody else at Little Earth was shot. There was somebody shot to death on the between 15th and Bloomington on 26th. That was 2 weeks ago, I think. It's hard. I mean, I'm really having a hard time keeping track of all the shooting. I'll be honest about it. And I bumped into Bart, you know, Bart who lives on 15th, used to be with Heart of the Beast. Just today, I was bumped into him on the street, and he mentioned to me that the alley between 15th and Bloomington is being covered with crypt graffiti. And apparently the police have identified it as a crypt presence. So we don't know what's going on. I do know that the last week with the double shooting on the corner of 27th and 15th, we're babysitting a dog right now. And I was out walking that dog in the late afternoon, and there just seemed to be a lot of cars speeding around without plates. You know, I spotted several of them. You know, they'd just be speeding like bats out of hell. And some of them would just stop, and they were all looking for somebody. I could tell that. So whatever happened that evening started up in the afternoon is my guess. And that's all we really know about it at this point. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, nobody died.
Maybe we can talk further about this at our Zoom meeting, if you can be there, John.
When is it?
Thursday at 1:00.
Let me check my work account. Send me the information.
I'll be sending out the link tomorrow.
Excellent. Work it into my work schedule.
Okay. Mohammed, you should put that on your schedule too, because Abdul said that you're having a lot of issues over at the mall crime issues and at the Islamic Center.
Yes.
So come to the crime meeting at 1, the Zoom meeting. Donna will send you a link.
Yep.
Okay, that'll be good.
Yeah, and you can send it to anybody. You can invite anybody you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do have all those video. The people come to the mall, they broke the windshield and windows and doors, and they broke it inside the storage. Especially the people have a little bit more wires. They take all their computers and stuff. And we catch them, all of them, the video, but it's very hard every night to be there in the morning, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, Jen, you want me to talk about the CBRO site?
Yes, please.
So a couple of weeks ago, it was brought to my attention by Chris Lomheim, who used to be on our board, and he's a musician, and he's married to Emily Green, who is a realtor in the neighborhood, and she's the president of the condo board over there at the PPL Condos. And he was expressing concern that with other camps being closed, the encampment by them, which is right down the hill from our office, right across from the CBRO site on Hennepin Railroad Authority land, 75 feet from their homes, was building. Well, within a few days, it was up to 45 tents. And then last Thursday, I think it was, well, he started writing emails about stuff, and we started sending emails to the park police and to the Minneapolis police. But then it really escalated last week when trucks started driving down the bike paths, and cars were driving down, and they were almost hitting people on bikes, and people who live in the area who were walking their dogs at the CBRO site were threatened and intimidated. And then there was this huge bonfire, and then the campers built a shed and filled it with propane tanks. And then this bonfire was 10 feet from the shed of propane tanks. And then more people came and they installed a fence, and the whole thing just started blowing up out of hand. So I went down and was just sort of sitting in my car. I wanted to get some pictures and look at what was going on so that I could like send them to the Heading Home Hennepin person at Hennepin County. And the security guard from Alina came by. And so I told him that I was a resident and here's what I was doing. And he just launched into one story after the next about how he was threatened and intimidated. And, you know, it was just like these incredible stories of the things that he had seen. And then I actually observed when he walked over the fence, a whole bunch of people from below, or when he was walking over the bridge, a whole bunch of people from below started name calling and hollering at him and all this stuff. And then Grant Snyder, who helped Donna and John, they started sending support emails to Chris and what they did. So then Chris reached out to Grant Snyder, and he took his team down there, and they had to evacuate because people were so brutal to them, they couldn't stay down there. Jeez. It was, you know, it's a terrible place because it's the ditch. There's no way to get out fast. And then they were like racing cars on the Greenway over the weekend. And so Chris continued to send pictures. And so we didn't get a response back from Kano. We did not get a response back from AK Hassan. So the park board owns the CBRO site. The Minneapolis police manage the Greenway roadway. And then Hennepin County Railroad Authority owns the land that the camp's on. So McGinty, Inspector McGinty and Chief Ojado got back to us, but they were actually, you know, we decided that we also wanted to get the sheriff involved because they have funding for a community engagement team. And so I was trying to think about who was at the county board that could be the chair of the county board now, because I decided I wanted to go to them. So I called Jan Callison, who is the county commissioner for the Minnetonka area. And lo and behold, she was the chair of the Hennepin County Railroad Authority. So that was like, whoa, that's the land where the encampment's on. That, I sent her an email. I had worked with her in Loring Park on a couple of things, and I sent her an email and asked for help. And at 8:30 on a Friday night, she emailed me back, and then she called me, and we had a long conversation. And Monday morning, the county administrator had an internal staff meeting. And then Jan emailed and said, can you put together a list of the people who have been calling us from the CPRO area that live around there? So I emailed Chris and I said, okay, let's brainstorm a list of who you want here. And we put together a team of folks from their building, Midtown Greenway, Soren was there. We asked Alina to be there. And then Allison asked the Alina security people to be there. We found out somebody from Ryan wanted to be there, but that they weren't available today to be on this call. And so it was actually Chris and me and Emily and Alina and the Alina security person who was on the call with county staff. And they committed, and they're going to put it in an email, and I'll send it out to the board. But here are the things they committed to. And again, this is really thanks to Jan Callison, who chairs the Hennepin County Railroad Authority, because it's on their land. So they are removing the porta potty from 29th Street because it has become a terrible nuisance. The porta potty person didn't want to drive into the greenway, so he left it on top of the hill, and it's become a haven for criminal activity. It's supposed to be gone tomorrow. They are posting the entrances along the whole Midtown Greenway area for no car traffic. And pedestrians and bikes can get through, but cars and trucks may not go through there anymore. If there's something that needs to be delivered to the site, it has to have approval, and they have to go in at Fifth Avenue and then drive up. They are putting together patrol between, they're putting together the patrol now. We don't have the specifics on it, but the Park Police, the Minneapolis Police, and the Sheriff's Department are working on how that would look. They are posting tomorrow, banning all permanent structures and bonfires, and those will be enforced, and they have people lined up to enforce that. Either today or tomorrow, the Hennepin County Sheriff's Community Engagement Team is going down there, and they will have to take apart, and if they don't take apart those structures and on their own, then they'll have to put together something to have that happen. We talked about and asked the question about how many people were experiencing homelessness on that site and about the intake, and they are going to get that information to us and to figure out, you know, like who needs help and who's there, like on your site, John and Donna, how many are activists that go home at night or have another place to stay. And they said that that's really hard to figure out. Yep.
We know you're here, Wayne.
Hi, Wayne.
Mute. Let me see.
And so they're gonna get together and regularly have weekly conversations with that group that we put together so they can continue to talk about it. And today the Alina security people really talked about some of the issues that they were having and the concerns that Alina had. Bubba from the global market is going to be a part of it as well, but because it was such a short turnaround for this Zoom meeting, he couldn't do it today. But and Salsa a la Salsa and Manny's Tortas also want to be part of that ongoing discussion because they're worried about their employees, they're worried about their customers, and after 7, things are really bad for them. And then John and Donna started launching emails like they did for their block. And so there's this campaign continuing to be high profile. And you guys, you should, one of the things I was told in a follow-up conversation from the Zoom meeting is that they hear from activists all the time and think that that's the norm. And they don't hear from people who are out here saying, this isn't good for folks in the camps. This isn't good for folks in the neighborhoods. And, you know, there needs to be a look at occupation versus activists versus people experiencing homelessness. And, you know, putting folks at risk is not a good strategy. And so I thought that was really interesting that they hear all the time. And, you know, God bless the activists pushing for affordable housing resources, but so are we all. Mm-hmm. And so you can't have the chaos in the neighborhood by people who don't even live here. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, the folks that live across the street, I was just stunned by what they had to live with.
I would like to add something too, in that we're activists too.
Right.
And they hear from us, at least John and Chris and I, we've been almost every day they get an email from mm-hmm. one of us, you know. Mm-hmm. And, and another Chris, thing I'd like to, I think Wayne should be part of this group too, like with Salsa, all the salsa and all the businesses that are working on it. We're talking about the encampment on the Greenway. Yeah,
I hear a lot about it, mostly negative, but yeah, whatever efforts that one could direct to give a voice. I mm-hmm. probably agree with what you're saying, Jana. There's so many activists, whatever that is nowadays, I don't know, but from the concerned citizens that live in a community, sometimes their voice is not being heard. And so if there's a push to do that, I definitely want to be part of it. On a daily basis, as people come into the store, people that live in the neighborhood is asking these questions, but not finding a sounding board for that. And so I would definitely lend myself to be part of that. Mm-hmm.
That would be great. Well, and the other person is Abdul wanted to be part of it as well. And maybe Mohammed, you want to be part of the discussion too, because we are questioning whether some of the stuff that's happening to the mall and to the Islamic Center are tied to something else that's going on.
Yeah, they're mm-hmm. pretty close to the CPRIO site.
Yeah.
The mall. Well, the other thing that people are seeing are bikes being chopped up. And so there's a question about whether or not, you know, it's just broken bikes that they're fixing or whether something else is going on.
Yeah, I saw that the other day when I, by mistake, rode down that. I usually avoid it. I go on the street now, you know. I'm not going to really use the Greenway until they clean it up because it's too dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing I forgot to mention is that they are coming in. They've hired a team to come in and clean up the biohazards because there's so much human excrement that nobody can sit on their porches or be in the CPRIO site without like being sick because the smell is so bad.
John can relate to that.
Yeah,
I sure can.
Yeah, and there's, you know, spent needles everywhere too that they're mm-hmm. having to pick up.
Yep. I did take it on myself to, I sent out an email blind copied to about 24 friends I have who live in other wards, who don't live in Phillips, just asking them to contact their city council people and their, and park board members and just say simply, we paid a lot of taxpayers money for this transit corridor. You say you want to have bike and pedestrian transit. Why are you throwing this huge resource down the drain right now? And I've gotten very good response backs from people saying they are contacting and they are spreading it through other. This is a citywide issue, and there's a few people out there spreading it in neighborhoods that actually may get more voice than we have, put it that way.
And John,
that was a really good
lead too, because when you did that, then I sent it to my downtown board and they sent it to all the downtown neighborhoods. So now there are 6 more downtown neighborhoods doing the same thing because of what you led off with. That was really a good idea.
Well, the truth is they don't listen to people in Phillips. They don't listen to people in North Minneapolis. I was sending it to people who live in Southwest and Northeast.
Mm. Yep.
Wow. I wonder if we could have a petition at local at local bike shops, because we have all these people that use that roadway mm-hmm. to and from work, and you know they may not live in our neighborhood, but they need that as their mode of transportation. So if we could, I don't know, Freewheel's no longer there, but there are other like bike groups across the city and get their input to pressure city council.
It's a great idea, Joanne. Yes,
that's a very good idea, Joanne.
Great idea.
Well, like the Greenway, are they involved at all?
Let me jump in here. Let me jump in here because I want to kind of try to focus. What's happening is we're getting a lot of popcorn, and I'd like to go back to Jana's resolution. You have a resolution, right, Jana?
Yes, it was sent to all the board, and Chris and I put it together. It was before the meeting today, so some of the stuff is happening, but I still think it's worth, I would like to move it. There's pieces, money amounts I have to fill in. And if you guys know Crystal, that like was the staff person from Hennepin County that lives on 2714th Avenue, she researched dollar amounts for me, so I'm gonna plug those in. But I'd like to move that resolution if there's a second, and I hope people read for the meeting. I could certainly read through it if you want me to, but it goes, the whereases cover all the things that Chris has had in his emails, Emily's had in his emails, what the Midtown Global Market has said, and then it has the lists of what we are asking the county to do. Do you want me to read it, Jen?
And so that, it depends on, let me see a show of hands. How many people want to have it read? Wave at your screen, please. Or if you've got it,
Sunny was going to put it up in the chat, too. I don't know if she's listening, but she was going to put it up so people could see it, too.
Jana, this is Shirley Heyer. I vote for reading it.
Okay, I can read it.
Well, we need a second.
I second.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah. That's not what I meant. Sorry. Yeah. Go ahead and read it.
And I would suggest, too, if people aren't talking, you can mute yourselves. And then, Jennifer, you wouldn't be getting that background noise.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
If people muted themselves. Okay, so whereas Hennepin County invested to develop the Midtown Greenway and created Midtown Community Partners to drive development on the Greenway and provide ongoing oversight. Whereas Phillips Community was the first neighborhood along the entire Midtown Greenway who believed in the vision of Park Commissioner George Puzak and seeks to ensure the safety and well-being of all those now operating bikes and using the now operational bicycle and pedestrian pathway. Whereas Midtown Phillips initiated through NRP, the CPRO site for new housing and for new housing to be developed at the Midtown Exchange, a transit hub, and provided funding for design and preliminary implementation, a multi-year process. Whereas Hennepin County provided staffing for the CPRO site to implement the design and explore the site's future ownership, a multi-year process. Whereas the Park Board, through its master planning process, recommended the ownership by the Park Board, and it's now transferred from Hennepin County to the Minneapolis Park and Rec Board. Whereas Midtown Phillips Neighborhood Association, Inc., supported, advocated for, and directed Phillips Partnership investment into affordable and market rate ownership and affordable rental with hundreds of new residents adjacent to this site, recruited in and responsible for the safety and the well-being of all. Whereas Midtown Phillips Neighborhood Association, Inc. advocated for and continued to support through public policy and financial decisions of both the city and state of the Midtown Global Market and is concerned for the employee and customer safety of the economic and well-being of all minority and local businesses at the Global Market and adjacent to it. And that came from Lorenzo and Bubba. Whereas residents and businesses continue to experience post-traumatic stress from the violation, threats, destruction of property, and fires resulting from the civil unrest following the egregious death of Mr. George Floyd. Whereas Midtown supports and advocates for housing for all legislatively and actively seeks solutions and housing options for people experiencing homelessness. Whereas Midtown Phillips advocates to ensure that vulnerable individuals experiencing homelessness are not put at risk. whereas permanent structures and fencing is being installed on Hennepin County Railroad Authority property, whereas large bonfires burn less than 75 feet from inhabited affordable housing, triggering calls to the fire department to extinguish, a fiscally non-appropriate frequent occurrence, whereas Midtown Phillips residents are continually threatened and intimidated when using the SEPRO site, with reports coming into the neighborhood, whereas cars and trucks are using bicycle ramps to unload firewood, supplies, travel on the greenway, they travel on the greenway at a high rate of speed, endangering bicyclists, walkers, and parents pushing strollers, which Chris has pictures of. Be it resolved that Midtown Phillips is demanding that the occupation end. Be it resolved that those experiencing homelessness will be found housing before cold weather arrives. Be it resolved that the city fire code and traffic laws will be enforced at this location. Be it resolved that the porta potties and hand washing stations provided during the interim will be on site at the greenway level, not on the top of the hill, unusable for folks in the greenway and creating yet another community nuisance with its placement along 29th Street. Be it resolved that Hennepin County cleans up all bio waste in this area to include human excrement and discarded used needles by October 31st. Be it resolved due to Hennepin County ownership that Hennepin County Sheriff's Office be involved with abating criminal activity in the area east to Bloomington Avenue to include the investigation of chopping up and distribution of potentially stolen bicycles potentially occurring at this site. Furthermore, be it resolved that Hennepin County Board and Railroad Authority provide data to Midtown Phillips on who is staying at the Midtown Greenway SEPRO site, that it be identified the percentage of activists versus those experiencing homelessness, that folks experiencing homelessness be provided housing, and that activists be trespassed off Hennepin County Railroad Authority property by October 31st, 2020. And that's it. And I know it's really long, but everybody who has been impacted and was sending emails put forward pieces of it. And I just put them together into one document.
So we need a second. Most of you are muted. So John, I see your hand first.
second.
That's okay. I only have four people at once. So John will second this. And all in favor, please wave at your, or is there any discussion? I'm so sorry. Go ahead, Donna, unmute yourself.
Donna, unmute yourself.
I would like to, thank you.
Just make it an official thank you from the whole board to Jana for all her hard work on this. I mean, John and I, and I know Joanne did too, wrote emails and did some calling, but Jana put it together, the great organizer that she is. So just put that in the minutes. So thank you from us for all her hard work.
Yes.
Well, and can we also thank Chris, because this guy's living it 24/7. It wouldn't even be an issue without his activism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ms. Shirley, I want to.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for that. And so, yes, Shirley, go ahead.
I want to thank Jana too. I know she asked me for some info on what money Midtown put into the SEPRO site and so on. We need to keep alive to the fact that this is in 2024, supposed to be starting to get the streetcar down there, which is very important for low-income people.
Shirley, you would be happy to know that on the bottom of the latest emails that Chris has been sending to the county, he puts the graphic picture of the streetcar at the bottom. You would be so happy to see that.
And thank you for everybody down there who's been doing this. I feel in a vacuum most of the time because I don't get out. And I
don't worry, Shirley, you've done plenty for this neighborhood.
But I still want to be involved, even if it's just knowing what's going on, because it helps my mind. Okay, thank you.
Yep. It does. If there are no other questions, and yes, echoing your thanks to the people that put the work in, all those in favor of sending on this resolution, please wave at your screen. All those in favor, please wave at your screen. If there's anybody opposed, please speak up right now. And I'd like to take one further step here. Couple of days ago, Jana sent a letter to the mayor. And as soon as she did that, I turned around and sent my own letter. I didn't copy all of you guys on that. And I know that, John, you've sent off some letters that you had said you would, and I'm sure other people have. Is there any other communication we as a board should take, or shall we let this resolution play itself out, Jana?
Well, I think it's good to have the resolution officially from the board, but one of the things that Emily wants to do this week is put together a community engagement plan. And I don't know what that will be. You know, we were talking about how Franklin Avenue and Loring Park were able to relocate people without, you know, Franklin went to the Navigation Center because of all the involvement of the Native American organizations. And in Loring Park, we had Mad Dads and a Mother's Love that were there, along with Hennepin County Resources. And by the time that we thought we would need to break apart the camp because it wasn't an authorized camp, we had everybody moved out. And we had a lot of community involvement and eyes on the area. And the Greenway is located in such a tough area, and it seems like there's a lot of people who are very angry. And so it's a different, I don't know how much community involvement we can have compared to policing, but she wants to talk about this week. And so maybe then it'll build into like an action that we all can do as individuals, and I can send it out. How does that sound?
That would be great. And so, that sounds great. And I think then if you could give us, you know, the go ahead to start email action, then that'll give us a good focus for who and what to email about. Like I said, I just came right behind your email to Mayor Fry and sent my own. And, you know, it just would be great if we would be coordinated to do what needs to be done. So about this?
If it's okay with John, I kind of would like to promote to Emily that we focus on the Greenway at large, because we developed this corridor for people to bike on and nobody wants to be on it. And so maybe it takes the next step and it moves into what you're saying, John. You're muted.
Here I go. Okay. No, I'm 100% for that. I think we need to publicly call out the city government on this. The current city council can't put three sentences together without talking about developing pedestrian bicycle transit. And I'm all in favor of that. But at the same time, there's been millions of dollars invested into a major component of that. And they're sitting there watching it be destroyed.
Yeah.
I think we really have to push that point that you can't have it both ways. You can't, we built it with our taxpayer money, because you said it was going to be pedestrian bike transit. Now people can't use it for those purposes. What are you going to do about it?
It's almost It's almost like the COVID thing. You got to get rid of that to have a good economy. Well, we have to, you know, provide some supportive, really sensitive housing for these people that are so addicted, in order for us to have any of the other pleasantries like a bike lane, you know?
Well, and we've got to start acknowledging, you know, the thing, I mean, my crazy point right now is the majority of people experiencing homelessness in our city are not heroin addicts. They're decent. I'm going to use an improper word. They're decent folks who've fallen on hard time. And I work with some of these people. They're making absolutely heroic struggles to get their life back on track. But what's going on right now is we're allowing the public face of homelessness to be taken over by people who are making the choice to live on the street because they won't go to shelters because they won't give up the dope. And I know we have to help these people. I don't know how, but they need help.
They do.
But continuing to present the face of homelessness as the people who are shitting on our in our backyards, dropping needles on our sidewalks, sexually harassing 12-year-old girls on the street, is doing a huge disservice to our neighbors who are homeless because of bad luck, economic circumstances, who are trying to get out of that situation.
And for that
reason, we have to change this narrative for everybody's sake.
I agree. And for that reason, we're not working hard enough for affordable, supportive housing. And I just want to put a little plug in here to email your state representative, senator, mm-hmm. and governor about a bonding. There's a bonding bill in this special session for affordable housing.
Yep.
$1 billion, a mm-hmm. $1 billion bonding bill. Yeah. I doubt if they'll get that much, but we really need to start pressuring our state legislators to pass something this session. There's a whole number of projects that are waiting for funding, but there's no bonding bill yet.
And we've got to start telling the truth about what.
Can we go back to the motion? We're still on discussion on the motion.
Oh. Sorry. We passed it.
We just passed it.
Did we pass it?
We did, yeah.
Okay, well, we did pass it.
So, Joanne, I just want to say that I will also bring forward the petition thing to Emily because that's a great idea. We could maybe do some online petition and get it to bike stores.
Yeah, and just, you know, the identifying where lots of cyclists hang out. I have some cyclist friends of my husband's where we could ask around and figure out where their watering holes are now. You know, that's less common now with COVID, but getting them on board, cyclists across the city who use that would be great.
I wonder if how big of a email list that Midtown Greenway might have.
Yeah.
The coalition.
Right.
Because that would be a good source too.
I wonder if we contacted RT about it. Because he was.
I'm not going to contact RT, but if you want to, you could.
I would do that.
Maybe he would put it out to people. He's been sort of a never mind.
He was a huge
topic for another day.
He was a huge proponent of the Greenway, though.
But he wasn't the one that built it. It was Peter McLaughlin that built it.
Well, maybe we go to Peter then.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't have a platform to work from. Maybe we go to Angela. I don't know on his I think if what we could do as well is if people have suggestions, you know, we can start an email thread just about this particular issue and continue to add a few suggestions to it. I think in terms of time, we should probably move on having made the resolution, which I think is great. What I want to do, since Wayne is here and before we do any more business, I would like to have another board member on our board. And so I'd like to move number 3 up, if that's okay with everybody. Would you nod your heads if that's okay? Can we move this issue up?
Yeah. So, Jennifer, I would like
to entertain. Yes.
I would make a motion, but I would change it to be the at-large rep and not the district rep. Because he can take Beth Hart's place and be at large.
And so what I would like to do is just to have Wayne introduce himself for a few minutes, and then I would like a motion from a board member and a second. And so Wayne, go ahead, just in case there are a few people listening who don't know you well. I haven't seen you since last February, so it's great to see you here. Yeah. So say hello and introduce yourself.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Wayne Bug. I'm the Associate Executive Director of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store. I've been working on Lake Street or in the Phillips neighborhood for the last 23 years. And so it's been a labor of love. And you know, I've become, as best as I could, I would say, an advocate for the community. earlier, I was asked about this opportunity and wasn't quite sure about it. It seemed like it was one more thing, you know. However, since then, I just see the need for the community to have one more rep. You guys seem like y'all doing an excellent job, and I would love to team with y'all to continue to further that. And with what's happened in the last couple months, even more so prevalent that, you know, these things be worked together. So that's who I am. I'm married with you know, 5 kids, 26, 21, 20, and then I got twin girls that's 10. I stay in the Bancroft neighborhood, a couple blocks from 38th in Chicago. And so I've been fully immersed in all parts of the community. And so work with John a little bit at Eastside Neighborhood Services. And so we got to work a little bit there. And a lot of you frequent the store and seeing some of your children even. So yeah, it's mm-hmm. been good. So mm-hmm. anybody got any questions?
I'd just like to make a comment. Wayne mentions that he works with, we have a professional relationship through my job. And let me tell you, our relationship is we place interns in the Vincent de Paul store. And over the years I've learned when we have people who have lots of needs for support, gentle guidance, need somebody to mentor them to succeed in an internship that could lead potentially to employment, Wayne's our go-to guy. We've seen I have just seen you, Wayne, do amazing things for some of the people we send your way. So I'm just giving you a plug here.
Thank you. I appreciate that, John. And a lot of that is just because, you know, where I've been. You know, St. Vincent de Paul has been an incubator for me. Coming mm-hmm. to Chicago, where I came from, I was a high school dropout and kind of had a chip on my shoulder. And I say by God's grace, I landed there. And this is just community of people rallied around me and had compassion on me and been patient with me. And so those same attributes over a period of years have come up out of me that allow me to do what I do. And so not only the organization itself, but the community as well. I have a lot of mothers and fathers that's spoken to me throughout the years to help guide me and encourage me along the way. So it's a privilege for me to be able to do that for others.
So if we could have a nomination, it's great to hear from you, Wayne, and I really loved hearing your story. Now, is there someone who would like to nominate Wayne to the board?
I nominate Wayne to the board as our at-large member.
I second.
Third.
Okay. Okay. Wave at your screen if you're in favor. Please. Okay. And are there any people who are abstaining? Please say so out loud. And so thank you very much. Wayne, woo-hoo! Welcome to the board.
Oh, you're bad luck, Wayne. And, you're stuck here now.
You get to vote on the next agenda item, which All right. is going to be our finance report.
I would just move a motion to accept and receive the August financial report. It was emailed around, done by our accountant, Robert Thompson, or our bookkeeper, Robert Thompson. If you have questions on it, and Wayne, I'll send it to you tomorrow, just feel free to ask me, and I'm happy to either answer the questions if I know it as the treasurer. If not, I can get the information from Robert. So that's a motion. Need a second.
I'll second.
Okay, thank you, Donna. And are there any questions that we could answer quickly? Is there anything anything anybody has? Hearing nothing, I'm gonna ask for a vote. All in favor of accepting this report and receiving it, please wave at the screen. Everybody wave at the screen so I can see you. All right, thank you so much. And is there anybody opposed? You should say so, or abstaining. All right, thank you, Jana, for bringing that forward. I need an update on CPP dollars from Donna and or Jana, whoever wants to take this report.
Donna, do you want to talk about the mayor's proposal and the recommendation for us to get our money? And then I could do the piece of the upcoming committee, city council public hearings.
Well, actually, I don't have it in front of me, and I'm not, you know.
I can do it if you want me to.
Yeah, just do it. I can't recall it in my head. So go ahead.
Okay, so the way the budget process works is that the mayor proposes a budget and then he sends it to city council. And so in the mayor's budget, we were all really worried that they were, with the budget shortfall that the city has, that they would take the NRP dollars and that they would use them another way. But the NRP dollars are tax increment funding and they're tied to the neighborhood revitalization law. So the mayor actually proposed that we continue operations as is, and that, and he did not touch any of our money. With that said, the budget then goes to a public hearing on November 16th. And at that time, you know, we can all testify to the value and the need of neighborhood money, but we will also listen to the council and we will be able to hear whether or not they will be of the same mind or whether they may pull some of the money out for something else. Hopefully that won't happen, but we will know that if you watch the public hearing on November 16th, which will be virtual and accessible by the city. The next layer of this is there's this executive committee made up of the neighborhood office director, the city coordinator, the budget finance person, the city attorney, and they are kind of an internal team that have been looking at the future of neighborhoods. They recommended that our existing community participation contract be extended for 6 months. And that in July, once the new program guidelines were solidified, that we then have an 18-month contract that would start in July on a new program.
Can I bring up the point, Jana?
So, can I finish first? Otherwise, I'll lose my train of
thought. The 6 months.
otherwise, I'll lose my train of thought.
Okay, go ahead.
So they proposed the 6 month, the extension of 6 months, and then a new contract starting in July for 18 months. Some of the city council are proposing that our 2021 contract should go for a whole year. Many neighborhoods are pushing that it should go for a whole year and that new program guidelines should start in 2022, not in 2021, because they need to look at the impact that rioting has had on communities. They need to look at the impact of COVID and the economic decline, and that it's not business as usual. And those guidelines have not been looked at or revised to the situation that we're in now. So many neighborhoods are pushing that that they do that throughout 2021. So that's just a little caveat. And then the third piece of this is that they are taking the program guidelines that, Jennifer, you'll remember all the meetings we went to on those. They're going to take them for a public hearing on November 5th. As far as I know, nothing has changed from all the input and all the discussions, but I could be wrong. We would learn that on November 5th, and then City Council would vote on the new program guidelines November 13th. And again, many neighborhoods are saying you need to go back to the drawing board and you need to look at what the impact of the civil unrest has done with destruction, funding needed for destruction, to help turn that around, money needed for neighborhoods to support businesses, maybe things like 2% grants for commercial facades like we had during NRP. I don't know if they'll reopen the conversation or not, but those are all the three pieces that I've kind of followed with this. So the bottom line is I still don't have a budget for you, because we won't know until November 16th what kind of money we might be looking at. So I can't really propose a budget without knowing the money. Many neighborhoods, there was a staff meeting of 36 neighborhoods, and everyone complained that it's impossible to set goals and to set a budget for 2021. Number one, not knowing whether or not we'd have any money, and number two, having a 6-month contract. And so if they had just said, yeah, we're going to give you the same amount of funding for 2021, and we're going to extend your contract for a year, then we'd all be able to set our budgets and set our strategic goals and all of that. But they have not done that yet. And so people are really frustrated at the neighborhood level.
Yeah, and you covered what
Janet,
I was going to bring up. I'm sorry. You covered, Jana, what I was going to bring up.
Janet.
About the year, the year contract. So I was going to say that. So, but you covered it. I'm sorry. Go ahead,
Janet. Great. Yeah. That's great. Yeah, Janet, what I want to do is, now that you've given a report, which is great, do you have a proposal or something in mind for us to do about what you just said? Should we take action, or are we waiting to see until November?
No, I think it would be really great to take an action that our contracts are extended for a year and that we relook at the 2021 proposed program with the current conditions that we have. I mean, it's not the same day. We are in an economic slump. People are locked in with COVID. Lake Street, like Wayne can talk about Lake Street and what needs to be done. It's a new day. And to just go on as business as usual, I think is very irresponsible.
And I was at that meeting, and maybe this is off the subject, but I said, what is the city and the state gonna do about protecting Lake Street again after Trump loses, because they need a plan. I brought that up at the meeting. We're gonna get destroyed again. I can just see it. And it'll be just another, you know, something that'll take all our money.
So Donna, maybe make that another motion at the end of the meeting, that we contact the chief's office and get and find out what the plan, I mean, they can't tell us the details of the plan, but they could tell us if there's a plan.
I know, because there was just a report, and who took the blame for all that? The governor and the mayor. And that's, they should have, because they didn't move. They did not move fast enough on protecting our neighborhood.
So what I want to do is two things. Thank you, Donna and Jana. And Jana, who do we propose that the contracts be extended for the year? Who do we direct that to? And then I want to make sure that people who haven't had a chance to comment yet have a chance to ask a few questions.
Every single council member. Mm-hmm. When the budget comes up,
should we
every
write,
single council member sorry, when the budget comes up, every single council person has a voice and has a vote. And so, you know, extending the contracts for a year and reviewing the program guidelines with the current economic situation, that would hopefully go to every council member before the November 5th public hearing where they're going to review our contracts.
So then that what we'll do after, this is after November 5th, or is it the 5th or the 16th? Then
no, we'd want to get it.
We should do an email.
No, we would want to do an email out before November 5th, because November 5th is when they're going to be making the decision.
I think we should have
Thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah, that's the public hearing. And so you'd want to have something in before that, before the public hearing. That could actually be your video testimony at the public hearing too.
Yeah, we should have something official from the board requesting a year long contract. Shouldn't we?
Yes.
Jana, would you please draft that, Jana? And I'll sign it.
Yeah, should we make a motion?
I so move.
So the motion would be to extend our contracts for a full year.
Donna has moved that we send a letter.
Pardon?
Yep.
I second.
I got okay. it. You guys, I'm, t- I'm
motion
taking minutes.
And a second. Good. There's a motion and a second to put together a letter requesting that we extend our contracts at the same level. And Jana's going to draft that. All in favor?
I have a discussion point. We also said we want to extend our contracts for a year, extend our contracts for a year and review the program guidelines per the existing economic situation in Minneapolis.
Is everybody clear on that? Nod your heads.
Can you repeat that one more time? I'm sorry, Jana, what you said.
No, that's okay. So on November 5th, they're going to talk about the future of neighborhoods and our current contracts at a public hearing. Mm-hmm. And so if we pass this motion, this could be our testimony. And our testimony would be that we want to extend our contract for a year, not for 6 months. So that, and the letter would say something about to enable us to budget appropriately and make strategic goals and things that you can't do with just not knowing how much money you have, or if it's a 6 month. And then the second component is to review the program guidelines, not to approve them the 1st of November, but to take, 2021 to review them in lieu of the current economic situation, both with COVID and with the destruction from the civil unrest. So the motion would be more simplified, but the letter would build in those details.
Okay, makes sense.
Does that help? Does that make sense?
Perfect, yep.
Is there any further discussion? All in favor, please wave at your screen. Any opposed, say so, please. Okay, great. And so, let's see. I'm checking to see where are we. A discussion on needing to do some outreach to fill some vacant board seats. I do want to reiterate that we really do need to plan ahead for February. You know, I kind of stepped in February because there were people were just desperate for something. It hasn't worked out the best, and you've all heard that story. I've jumped in back. I'm holding off in leaving the board because I don't think it's good for the neighborhood to have so many vacancies. And so I'm going to keep muddling along here. I will be home at the end of November, and we'll be able to be a little bit more on deck to help plan for the annual meeting. How else can we, are there suggestions for getting more board participation?
I remember at the last board meeting, somebody on our block named Lourdes.
Yeah.
Was Lourdes. Interested. Lourdes. Yeah.
Well, and I asked her, and she, and I really worked on her, and I worked on you too, Wayne, you little boy. And, you know, he didn't at first, he's a slow learner, I guess, but he didn't at first, like, come to mama. But Lourdes had eventually told me she had a conflict. She's on the board, she's on, like, I think the board at Banyan. And the same night that they have their meetings, we have ours. So that's what happened.
So. Could maybe Sunny send out a list of the vacant seats so we actually know where they are?
Yes, that would be really helpful.
Because I don't have a clue, really. I mean, I know that Rand has left, and so that district seat is up, and maybe somebody from the CPRO organizing, that would be the district area, or maybe somebody from the global market would be interested to be on the board. Mm-hmm. But there are other district seats open, and I don't know what they are.
And once again, I would like to mention that we're two vanilla.
And we also need...
We're two vanilla.
Okay, and so the other thing, two vanilla, yes. Yeah, and the other thing that with that list that needs to come out is the actual term and who is expiring when. Yeah. and which ones, let's see, right now we have a board president and we have a treasurer. I think we have a vice president, and so that would be another officer as well that we need.
Well, and again, we might want to check the bylaws, because that might be why we don't have a vice president, because I served as vice president for a while and I don't think it was in the bylaws. I think I got recruited to help and it wasn't in the bylaws and we had to waive it.
Yeah, but did you have a fly on your head?
We could send the bylaws around.
My question also is, when or how shall we start to maybe do a little bit more advanced planning for the annual meeting?
That's a good question for Sunny, because she's led the planning for the last 3 years. So maybe you could email her and ask her if she's given some thought to that. Because with COVID, we should probably have to think about what we do.
Is Sunny here?
She is, but she's working on a project, so I don't know if she's really listening.
Oh, okay.
And yeah,
she had a deadline come up, and so she's having to hit a deadline.
I mean, I think realistically, the annual meeting is going to be held in a format such as this. I just can't. I mean, unless there's divine intervention unexpectedly.
Well, Jennifer, what about if we would ask like Steve Gallagher, who's the policy guy at NCR, to come to our meeting next month and talk about how other neighborhoods have done virtual annual meetings? Mm-hmm. Because I bet they have a process now on how to do that if we think it's going to be virtual.
I think it's going to.
Yeah, I think that would be great. Or I don't know if we can actually do this, whether or not we can postpone our annual meeting until we could hold it outside.
Well, as we can, that's a good question to ask Steve too. You want me to run that by him tomorrow?
Yes, please.
We could have an ice skating party.
What?
We could have an ice skating party.
A game.
I mean, there's so,
Janet,
so much.
If you are going to speak.
Hello? Surely.
If you're going to speak to Steve Gallagher tomorrow, why don't you just invite him?
She's muted.
I can do that.
Okay, great. And so, Joanne, you are muted. Do you have, I haven't really heard much from you tonight. Have you got anything to tell us?
I don't really have anything to tell us. I had a few deadlines of my own in terms of, this is the busy season for me with gardening. So as things slow down, I'll have more to report.
And Muhammad, are you still with us? There you are.
Yes,
have
I
got,
am.
Have you got any comments after?
Have you got any comments? I would comment for just update or what?
Just giving people that have not had a lot to say during the meeting a chance to chime in.
No, we wave the hand and we participate because we cannot all talk same time. So everything go as scheduled. When end of the meeting, I just want to update about a little bit about KARY Radio, what is going on, and also it can play a big role for the outreach for the Midtown neighborhood for this radio, and we have almost the. All South Minneapolis people, they always listen what happened. And also, I would recommend in Midtown neighborhood, we should have, like Whittier, they do have a kind of and place we can all share what is happening, you know, as every minute, you know. So I would suggest that, you know.
Thanks.
You mean like,
thanks,
WhatsApp?
Muhammad. We're so glad to have you tonight.
So, Muhammad, what does the Whittier model look like? Can you talk about it a little bit?
Yeah, they do have an app called Neighborhood. They have an app, they have a neighborhood. When something happens, when someone is still something, they bust it right away. Everybody, they get that block, they see it. It's an app you download it. It show every minute, second what is happening. So it's kind of connecting us no matter where we are. And I think that will be very good model to take.
So there is that app. I don't have it, but Brad Pass has it. Brad Pass has the Citizen app for Phillips. He could probably share it with us.
I have
good idea.
Oh, Joanne's got it. She could share it with us. See if it's, and then if you get it, Mohammed, you could see if that's what Whittier has.
Yeah, Whittier, the app they have, they call, I have that app here, they call Next Door. They call Next Door.
Yeah.
Oh, I have that app too.
Yeah, Next Door. So that is always the update. If cars, and if something happened, like in Chicago, right away they will bust it. If something happens somewhere, it will happen. And also, as a media, we always get news for the police. When something happened, or if the car is stolen or someone shot and happened, right away as a media, we get the news right away. So we need some blog we all can share about a minute what is happening, especially this time, you know.
I've heard a lot of neighborhoods or block clubs using WhatsApp to do what Muhammad is describing for their block.
Yeah, we did it at least during the encampments. We had WhatsApp, and I think we even used Nextdoor too. And some people are still on that. I never went on it, but, you know.
Yeah, and I've got to say, I'm pretty much a technological idiot, and I was amazed how easy WhatsApp was to use and how well it worked to keep communication going.
Yeah, I agree with Donna. We had it on our block during that June week. Mm-hmm. I guess we probably still have it, but we just haven't had a need for it lately. But that's how we communicated to know what was going on.
It's really, really, it's as easy as sending a text message.
So, Mohammed, a lot of blocks that are plugged into that.
On same time, we can use the radio. same time, we can use the radio and whatever happening, so everybody will listen there inside their car. So it's not something you need to have a internet or app. It's something, the radio, I think Midtown neighborhood, we have the best asset, no one have it. K-A-L-Y, it's a very good radio. I hope everybody listening 101.7 their car. So this is place also, we do announcement every meeting we have and anytime events, Sunny, she shared with me like week before, and we broadcast in Somali and English. And I would say Midtown, I think we should use more about Cali radio. It will be more, a lot of people don't have no technology. They can listen in the neighborhoods, what happened. And sometimes our discussion and maybe sometimes 5 minute, 10 minute, or important issue, how we discussion, we should be recorded and broadcasting too, you know, so other neighbors can know about what the work we do in Midtown.
So I'm gonna piggyback on what Mohammed said earlier this year, talked a little bit about whether we thought the housing program that we support was going out, how the information was being spread, and if it was being heard by neighbors. And I was going to ask my block at National Night Out. Unfortunately, I didn't have as many people there this year, I think because of COVID, as I have in years past. But basically, my neighbors told me that none of them read the alley. And so I encouraged them to, if they weren't going to read the alley, that they at least, you know, get on our Facebook page for Midtown so that they would know what's going on in our neighborhood. And unfortunately, I didn't hear from many. I knew that Somali radio is big in the Somali community, but my Hispanic neighbors, many of them did not come because there was a conflict. But they aren't reading the alley either because it's not in Spanish. So I think that Midtown events are being lost on a good portion of our, of at least my block, and that makes me question the neighborhood in general.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, isn't one of our partners Latino radio station?
It's the White House radio station, and it has Latino shows, and Sunny does type up information for them to broadcast out. But last year we talked about trying to hook up and partner with Latino Communications, and we haven't done that yet. And Alberto Matarazas is the connection there, and they had or have an office on Lake Street. Wayne, do you know those guys?
Yes, I know.
I don't know those people, but I think Daniel Faras, I don't know how his last name, who owns the travel agency across the street from the post office, has his own publications that reach the Latino community that disseminates information. I know there's a couple times that we have free food events or even special sales at the store that he's published those that I think that's been impactful for us, even on his Facebook page. And so that seemed like something that's local that we probably could utilize to help communicate, to help with some of the communication barriers.
Do you want to ask him about that? Yeah, I mean, he's an interesting, he also is appointed to the Chief's Advisory Committee. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that. But
he's a member of the Chief's Advisory Committee. Yep, he's an interesting guy.
Okay, I'll check.
I didn't know he had a communication arm. That's cool. Yeah. Really good point, also, Joanne.
Also, they do have a radio station called Lazara. They put it down Lake City, Minnehaha. They do have a Lazada radio. Her name is Maya, but it's burned down. Now they open other location, but they used to base in Minnehaha. So that's a 24 hours Latino radio. A lot of people broadcast in a 1 hour different language, but most of the community will, like African American, if you want to reach. And sometimes we want to reach African American. KMOJ is the number one 24/7. Yeah. And Somali radio is KALY is 24/7. Maybe other radios, sometimes they offer 1 hour program for different language, but that's not 24/7. So I will say this, KALY without the Midtown neighborhood is not going to be going this great bigger. And now we partner with Star Tribune and NBR, both of them. And they know where and KALY started is Midtown neighborhood. So I will say, and the longer, especially this time, if the neighborhood or the security issue, whatever issue we're discussing, I think if we can put together 5 minute broadcast, it will be helpful for the other neighborhood.
Well, these are all good suggestions, and I think that as we're moving towards trying to pull together the annual meeting, these are things that we really should talk about more. I know in years past, this is not a new conversation about how to contact our neighborhood, and it's 30 years worth of just how do we get the word out, and it's just a different kind of a challenge in an urban neighborhood that is so diverse. And so it may be that we have to divide and conquer and send board members to different camps, so to speak, and just try to keep getting the word out. I would love to see us to actually have people who are ready to run for board positions before the meeting, before the annual meeting, not during the annual meeting. I remember Wayne saying, come on, you can do it. And I don't blame you for for kind of holding off a little. I'm so happy that you had a chance to figure out who we were and what you wanted to do for us. Are there any further comments?
I just sure. Want to say, Jennifer, excuse me.
And then
can I say one word?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to go. Yeah. I just want to go. Bray, meeting take a little bit too long, so I have to go. Bray, I don't know if it's gonna be finished 8 or not, but I have to go. Bray, and come back if I can catch you guys.
Okay. I just have one comment.
Yeah, we're gonna wrap up here very soon.
Okay. That we could make make that a big discussion in on our next agenda, like I've said, how do we make this less vanilla? And maybe it's because of maybe our failure to communicate with these things like Kali Radio, better. To get the word out into that community, into the Latino community, into the Native American community. How can we reach those communities with our news? And then that might be one way to get more diversity on our board too, more ideas from other corners of the world, I guess, not just ours.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good That's a good idea. And I wrote that down as new business. Is there any other new business for our next board meeting?
Jennifer, Shirley? Hello?
We hear you, Shirley.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Why don't you check out this? Somewhere in the last few weeks, I've been following these hearings on the 2020 plan, 2040 plan. Someone said that the neighborhoods don't have to have their annual meetings during this part of the COVID episode. You might want to verify that. I don't know why. Maybe that's a way to get rid of the neighborhoods.
If you ask me, I think we should have some kind of meeting, a Zoom event open to the community. I just think we should.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I want to know why that statement was made during the 2040 hearings, 2020 hearings. Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
We don't
and
have
maybe
to do
Steve
what they
will
say.
Have. Maybe Steve will have some information about that for us. If there are no further items, I think that we should entertain a motion to adjourn.
Wait! I have one announcement. Don't forget we're doing a meeting with our outreach partners and radio partners on Tuesday, October 26th. A Zoom link will go out this week. And all the board members are invited as well. It's the annual report back from the partners. So much stuff changed because of COVID and the unrest. And so, you know, a lot of the MOUs, that people have done stuff to do outreach that may or may not have been in the MOUs. And so people are going to report back. But I know Sunny will have that link and send it out. So I would encourage everybody to link in on the 26th of this month. Not certain whether it's 6 to 7 or 6:30 to 7. We're waiting for people to report back. And Wayne, we give our CPP money. We partner with different organizations to do outreach, and then they do outreach for us. And then on different aspects, a lot of it used to be tied to events and stuff. And with COVID, we haven't been able to do it, but all of our partners will report back. So that's a huge piece of our outreach plan is our outreach partners.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to find out and just see how all these moving parts come together. So I definitely plan to be on that call.
Well, thank you, Jana, for bringing that one out. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I move we adjourn.
Is there a second?
There was a second.
No second?
Second.
Okay, thank you, John. All in favor, say aye, and we'll see you next month.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody. Good meeting.
Congratulations,
thank
Wayne.
You,
yeah. Woo-hoo!
Welcome, Wayne.
And you know, Donna, remember, each one reach one. We can recruit people in ourselves. Best way, personal contact, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.